On this week's episode of A Slice of Golf, we each pitch a three-day trip for £500, and we need your help deciding whose trip we should take. Also, we see the return of some quick-fire would-you-rathers. As always, this show is brought to you by myself, Chris Wright.
Me, Tim Williams.
And me, Ben Fowlis.
Welcome back. We are here for yet another week of A Slice of Golf. For those of you who are tuning in, we have just recorded the Fantasy League podcast. So if you've missed that one, go back and give that a listen. But now we are diving in to a whole load of stuff today, actually. I'm excited for this episode today. Let's first start off with what we've been up to, what's been going on, how we've been practicing in any shape or form. Timbo, the foam balls are out. Ben, the speed sticks are probably out somewhere. So let's start with Timbo. Let's go to Timbo. Has there been some more foam ball action?
Yes, there is. I'm happy to report the foam balls have been back out again. Well, the weather was really nice towards the end of last week. So first half of the week, weather was pretty shocking. Second half, we actually got some sun, some quite pleasant temperatures. So I thought Friday afternoon, finished up work, a little sort of pretty much bang on time. So I was like, right, normal times, I'd, you know, go down to the range for a few hours and kind of have my time there. But I thought, you know what, next best thing is, you know, just hitting something. So went down to the park. I changed up my route to where I go to hit the balls, just to kind of avoid people, not for social distance purposes, just because I get weird looks otherwise.
You get weird looks carrying a golf club down to the park, you mean? Is that...
It's not just any park. This is a public park in London as well. So quite a densely populated city. People with very little to do. So they're all going down
very
the park.
Public park. Now, when I went down to sort of the normal area I go to hit the balls from. So normally I go to the cricket AstroTurf strip. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, good surface to hit off. There were people exercising on it. So I was like, okay. That's annoying. I can't tell them to, excuse me, could you move along, please, so that I can hit my foam golf ball? It's really going to fly. So I thought,
by the way, that would just be the ultimate, like, that's what everyone thinks of golfers, right? That would just be the ultimate, this golfing. He came up, he told us to move, so he could hit the rain balls.
It's all foam golf balls. No, I didn't do that. But actually, as I was walking over to it, I realised, some parts of the ground are a bit, have started to get a little bit firmer. So not quite as soggy, you know, we've got some actual solid patches. So I thought, you know what, I'm trying to hit off the ground, hit from terra firma, you know. So I thought, right, I'll find like the driest patch I can find, and found like a really good patch, you know, grass is fairly short. So that's quite a decent area, actually. Before you know it, I'm taking divots.
Please tell me you're on like the bowling green or something like this.
This is genuinely just parkland space, nothing to do, away from everybody, not interfering at all. And I thought, oh my god, that'd be good, because not only am I now hitting, I'm actually hitting off grass and off the actual ground. So because sometimes if you're hitting off like, you know, an AstroTurf strip, you know, it's not really going to be that truthful, because obviously you're not taking any of the ground with you at all. Not your impacts can be a bit funky, but I thought, oh, you know, this would be interesting. So quite quickly realized, okay, I'm not taking the club low enough, because my first few shots were fat, to put it mildly. I mean, one of the really disgruntling things about a foam golf ball is obviously they only go about, I don't know, a quarter or a fifth of the distance they would normally go, which means if you do catch up, if you do hit fat, you can actually make a divot go further than the ball, which is quite impressive.
Great.
But it was interesting, though, because literally just before this lockdown came in, right after Christmas, when obviously last time we played, hadn't really had too much practice then, I was hitting the ball fat. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. So that's what I was doing before it. And I remember thinking, when I hit fat, it's literally because my takeaway, I'm picking the club up too much. Right. In the backswing, whereas the coach I go to, as you know, we've spoken about, I said to him, just keep this simple for me. I don't want loads of technical information, just give me simple information. And one of the key things he says for me, one of your key thought processes is to feel like you're cutting the grass with the club head as you're going back into your backswing, rather than picking it up, you're actually almost dragging it along than taking it up. So I thought, oh, I'll apply that, and it went better. So there you go. Something's something stayed and got better. So that was quite pleasing, actually.
Nice. Excellent. That is fantastic, kind of, I think, for me to hear, having done swing practice. Ben, how about yourself? Speed Six been back out. Are you getting quicker? Do we need to be worried?
Speed Sticks have been back out, obviously, as Tim said, weather's been a little bit better over the course of the past week. So that has meant, yes, Speed Sticks have had the allotted three sessions in. Speeds are going up, which is pleasing because it ultimately means that I'm working. And then over this past week of kind of stepping back into the adult life, and I've got a moving date back up to London because obviously gyms reopen April 12th. So a moving date has been confirmed when I head back to my, to a new flat. So my new flatmate has, straight away booked in two range sessions for the week. So that before my next round, that's four range sessions already booked in. So we're ready to go for the 8th. I've got rounds booked in the 8th and the 9th. So yeah. It's full steam ahead from this point forward, basically. Fantastic.
Where are you playing on the 8th?
Home of golf, Chelsfield Lakes.
Are you?
Yes.
You're getting your three round in before.
We are. So the uni boys, they're all taking a day off work. Obviously, it's 3-4 days before gyms open. So we're heading down there. For those who haven't played Chelsfield, it's one of our go-to golf courses, and it's quite forgiving. So that was quite a good course for us to get back out to for the first one, because we can get all the bad ones out of the way and then turn up Friday and hopefully.
That is quite irritating.
That's very irritating. So you're playing the day before we get out. Chris, are you getting a round in before we play on the 9th?
I am not currently. Not unless anyone listening is living in Surrey and fancies a midweek round somewhere. Happens to be a member somewhere or just has a round book, let me know. I will happily come along and play an extra round.
You've also only got one range sessions in so far.
Yeah, the range sessions, I don't think people are going to be, maybe they have been. I haven't been so prepared with the range sessions. I need to get some of those range sessions booked in for sure if there is any availability left. I can be quite flexible with those, so I'm hoping that there will be a time at some point, please, maybe available. Yeah. But yeah, no round for me before we have our three-way.
I'm glad you went with that.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you used that word and not the other one.
Tim, have you got a round before us?
Yeah, I'm playing next Saturday.
Oh, stop it. Okay, I'm going to have to find a round. Okay, someone take pity, give me a call. Let's go play some golf. My practice this week has been more putting. Still haven't beat the 4 out of 10 record that I had last. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Yeah. Still haven't beat the 4 out of 10, which is now level with you quite annoying. Had three a couple of times, but yeah, haven't beat the 4 out. I'm talking about perfect putts here. If anyone didn't listen to last week's episode, so no 4 out of 10. But I haven't messed with any different putting techniques. Haven't messed with any putting grips. So now all there, and yeah, that's about all I've done. Not that much.
Internet browsing for new putters, because I know you've spoken about wanting to change your putting grip. The actual grip on the club, not your.
I've got the super
super stroke.
Yeah, that's it. I've got quite a thick one. I think I want to say it's a thick one. It's like a three.
Oh, you're on fire! You're on fire, mate. Well done.
And I was wanting to swap it for one with less girth. So I wanted one with less girth. So we go to
crikey.
But no, I haven't done any research on that. I haven't even, and again, I don't really want to, because even when I swapped to this one, I didn't test any. Like, there was no testing with it. And that, I think, was a mistake, and I would now Tim's going to crack up giggling in a minute. So I'm not going to change. I'm not changing anything until I've tested stuff. No. In short, no. Have been looking at new golf bags though. So got some money set aside for a new golf bag, and umming and ahhing about potentially making a purchase. Got two or three lined up that I quite like.
New gears.
Don't know that it'll be here in time for. When are we playing? The 9th. Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. There may be a little extra touch. There's definitely been some polos added to my basket today. So it's been a very busy day, really. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about, I think we have to talk about the pros. Again, we covered it in the previous episode on the Fantasy League very briefly. Matt Jones taking the win at the Honda Classic with 12 under, just the 5 shots clear of second place. Absolutely crushed it. I know you two watched a lot on Thursday and Friday, and then your viewing excitement reduced. Anything that you'd like to mention about the event? Anything you'd like to talk through? I've got a couple of things that I can dive into, if not.
No, I just for me, I kind of feel like that course and the tournament could do with being put at a different stage in the year. I kind of feel like it deserves a more high profile field there. I know every tournament's going to argue their case for that, but particularly with, you know, the course hosting the Bear Trap, one of the most famous three-hole stretch of the golf in golf, I kind of feel like it deserves a lot of the players there. So I'm not gonna lie, that was mostly why I didn't watch much golf this weekend. The field wasn't that exciting enough, particularly when I'd gone over my banana skin of a fantasy league lineup. Once I'd realized that my chance of that had pretty much all but gone, there wasn't much keeping me around. I know that sounds very fair weather golfery, but that was about all.
I massively agree with that. I thought the course was awesome. I was really enjoying watching it. You're right, that's that stretch of three holes is one of the most entertaining three stretches of holes, because it's just riddled with danger, and you just feel absolutely right. If that's like a I don't know, like a WGC event, then that's just going to cause so much drama on like a final day. I'm not going to name courses, but I mean, that course is better than other courses where higher prestige events are taking place, for absolute sure.
And without taking anything away from Matt Jones, because, you know, sensational for him to go away and win, and winning by 5 shots against anyone is one hell of an achievement. But there's always that thought in my head of, I wonder what he would have shot, or what the other big boys would have shot if they were in that tournament. Would 11 under have done it? Would he have won? Where would he have featured if the big lads were there? So, yeah.
It's, I think, one of the things, A, it's on the Florida swing, if you like, of courses. By the way, how much water is there in Florida? Like, water on the golf courses. Like, this one... Excuse me, there was a counter every time someone was on a shot where there was water in view. There was a counter of like balls lost, and the ball would go to the water and it would go from 198, 199 balls in the water. I was like, this is brutal. It's just so many people putting shots into the water. But that's one, like Matt Jones, just his ball flight. Every line, it was just like, one of the questions that it was just, the ball flight was just super low, dead straight, could work it left, could work it right. Just beautiful. And they were asking the commentary, they were like, part of it was a bit like, they don't really know much about this and about this guy and where he's come from. I mean, he's been around for a long time, but he's only won once before on tour. And they were like, he hits the ball really well. Why hasn't he won more? And the comment was, he's not designed for the PGA Tour. He's designed to play on the European Tour. Like, the way he hits the ball, the way he strikes the ball, he can play in wind. And they don't, like, PGA players don't compete with the conditions that course gives them. And it wouldn't surprise me if lots of people don't go to that event because the conditions are quite tough and quite windy, and it's not their usual type of event, the usual type of conditions that they're going to be playing in on the PGA Tour. And I just thought, and it's, you watch him play and think, I reckon he would do better, like, wins wise if he was playing on the European Tour in events. Like, literally put him in the wind, he was the wind just wasn't facing him. There was no, like, missed shots. There was no, like, he played on the final day. There was obviously a bit of an adrenaline rush going, but he hit his sand wedge. I think it was like 150 odd yards or something, like pin high. And I was just like, that the wind's all over the place. I'm like, this dude is calm under pressure in the wind when everyone else is hitting the ball. And you can see the cameraman like veering off as the ball goes towards him. He's not, just straight down. I was like, he can control the golf ball. But that was the interesting, when they said he's designed for European Tour, I was like, are players on the PGA not playing here because it's windy? Notoriously so. Like, there's always windy there. And that was something that I wondered about.
And also, I do know that there's a massive step up in pay prize money from European to PGA Tour. But also, he would know that. He would know the stats behind it. He would, you know, PGA Tour players nowadays get provided those stats. So you wonder why he hasn't played and won more.
he's got a family. Like, you generally just go, like, quality of life is better in wherever he lives, etc. Whatever. So I think there's obviously a lot more into this than just tournament wins. But he's an Aussie. I think the previous Aussie to win there was Jason Day. I want to say, you may have made that up. But again, it's a they said it's a place where people that can play in the wind score well, and that I think showed. I think there's final day. JB Holmes going from whatever it was, 6-7 under to 2 over on the final round. Meanwhile,
it's a very expensive round of golf. That
it is. And can you imagine being JB Holmes in the final group against Matt Jones, who just every shot is dead arrow straight, nice and low out of the wind, just and you'd be like, oh, I'm +1 again on this hole. Oh, another +1. Oh, another +1. Like, it'd be brutal, wouldn't it? It'd just be absolutely brutal.
Soul destroying.
It's just one of those days where, like, after 2 or 3 holes, you just know it's like, oh, no.
I'm sure.
Because we all had those days, right? We've all had it. And after, like, literally, sometimes it can be like 2 holes or 3 holes. you know what's about to follow is going to be an absolute clusterfuck.
Yeah. I think he knew it was going to be a bad day. Aaron Wise Aaron Wise? He was one shot behind on the 9th. Then he quad bogeyed or something ridiculous, and then just never recovered. So then he was asked, like, you put yourself in contention, and then one mistake, it just leads to, you know, 4 over, whatever it was on that hole. But he generally played quite well. But you look at Matt Jones. If anything, he's put himself into my team for future weeks in the Fantasy League with just consistent play. Never looked phased. By the way, I've never seen someone play quicker golf than him.
Yeah, he doesn't mess around, does he?
Looks at the shot, makes a decision, steps up, no practice swing, one wiggle, smash, done, walks off. And I was just like, this guy's like playing speed golf as he goes around.
I saw a few comments on Twitter that the PGA cameras like weren't quick enough to catch up to him, and there would often be times where they would switch back to his camera and he's in his follow through. And everyone's like, what's happened?
Yeah, he's already hit. Just not faffing around, just not going for it. So yeah, overall, really good for Matt Jones, second win on the PGA Tour. Really good for me because that meant I won the Fantasy League, which you've already heard. So this week, I want to talk about it. We need to talk about it. It's a change of format. The WGC Match Play coming up this week. It starts on Wednesday. This podcast will be released on Wednesday, so it'll either be about to start or already be in play if you're catching up. Different format to normal match play 1v1 scenario. Group stages, 64 of the top players in the world competing. Group stage Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then knockouts Saturday, Sunday. Super exciting. Guys, I know we spoke about it briefly on the Fantasy League show. Is there anything else? Is there anything you'd like to really dive into and talk about on here? Timbo, I'm going to come to you first.
Just because it's such a different kind of event to the one you normally get on a weekend. It's just so appealing because there are so like there's something. I mean, not that there's not something on every single round, but in match play, it's so like every match, every shot you're watching is like it's mega because it's you're like, just trying to build that guy next to you. Well, be the guy next to you, but obviously still trying to progress from the group as well. Again, go check out our other podcast on the fantasy element to it. But if all weeks probably you're going to do fantasy golf with your pals, this is the one to do it because we just talked about it between the three of us. And the reality is we picked super different people between us, which means that pretty much over the first 3 days at any given time, we're going to be in a match against each other. Yeah. And it's going to be a slanging match. I'm going to be throwing barbs out towards Chris and so I think it's just fascinating. Also, on a personal note, this will sound ridiculous. We just covered about how a few weeks ago I got really excited because I thought, and I quote, this is the course with the really big bridge. It's just like a really weird eyesore that I just really, really like for some reason. It's like such a weird thing to see on a golf course. It's whopping great. Like it looks like the Newcastle Bridge.
It's a nice golf hole.
So out of place, but it's just so weird that I just really like it.
For sure. Yeah. Benjamin, anything you want to add in there?
The dog's just being really indecisive at the moment, so I've just had to let her through. I'm really, really excited just about the tournament in general. Again, it's one of those, like, it's a break. It's something different. It's something we've spoken about before. It's a different kind of tournament. It's a different animal, different beast. And through all three rounds, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no one should really be playing like they're out of it. Yeah. If there's a 140 man field in your typical, tournament, if you're 140th and you're 10 shots off the pace, you want to be back in the hut, really. Yeah. Whereas match play, you've always got that chance to play for something. So I think, it's going to be exciting and completely different format of golf. So it'd be interesting to see out of all the top players who completely collapses in that and who actually thrives on it. Because going on past winners, there are clearly players that do really well at match play.
And with that in mind, I think giving extra gravitas to all of this year, Ryder Cup year, match play competition this weekend, there's so much competition for places in both the US and European teams. Exactly as you're saying there, it's time to sort of sort out who's a good golfer and who's a good match play golfer, because they're not always the same thing.
Definitely. And like, honestly, I almost picked, I didn't say this in the other show, I almost picked a European team because I was like, I just want to back the Europeans in this match play event because I know it's a Ryder Cup year. And I didn't pick Hovland, but almost had him in the team because I was like, I just want to see, I want to pay attention to Hovland this week. I want to see how he does. I want to see how he plays. I think
it'll be interesting to see how the coverage goes. Sorry to jump in. Be interested to see how the coverage goes because, you know, in most PGA tournaments, it's whoever's fallen away, they tend to not see them. But with all of the big boys playing there, and there always being something on the line, it's going to be interesting to see how they keep up with every single match. Because in the first 3 days, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of players out on the golf course, a lot of important matches going on.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think it'll be really interesting going through to the final, you know, on Sunday, and having just a 1v1 situation and paying attention and following along with that. I think it's going to be very cool. I'm a big fan of match play. You guys know that. I think match play for me is just such an enjoyable format of golf. I obviously love the Ryder Cup. I've always been a proponent for having more match play events where possible. And I'll be honest, this is an event that I actually in the past have not paid a huge amount of attention to. However, I'm now super excited about this event. I'm super excited to see how they do it, how it worked, like just the whole structure of it. I'm really excited for it. So looking forward to seeing some good match play golf for sure. I like it. Moving on. This week we set each other a bit of a challenge. Actually, I'm gonna let the listeners know on a little bit of a secret. Obviously, we've been doing the podcast for a while. We have talked about Tim, Ben, myself, insert one other probably, doing some vlogs, doing some video content. We've done a couple in the past. You've probably seen them: the Portugal trip, Battle of Oro Royal and Ocean. We do a lot on Instagram, so if you followed us on Instagram, you'll know that we do kind of already vlog every round that we play, but we wanted to kind of take it to the next level. We reckon there's a gap, I'd say, for a group of people having some competitive rounds and having some fun with that, doing some tours of various places. So we started thinking, right, where would we go? What would we do? What kind of format would we do? What kind of courses would we play? And so this has kind of led to we'll call it listener involvement as well. You guys can get involved, but we set ourselves a challenge. Now, Tim went a bit wild with the challenge to begin with. We set ourselves a budget. Here's the challenge: 3-day trip, leaving London on day one, arriving back in London on day three, end of day three, right?
Got to be back in 72 hours was the rule.
Yeah, got to be there and back. Yo, and originally Tim just went, yeah, let's just not have a budget and let's just kind of go nuts. So I'm actually quite excited to hear what Tim's original idea was before we went, yeah, look, this is just going to be completely ridiculous and no one will ever want to go on this, or everyone would love to go on it but won't be able to go on it, and before we brought it back down to reality. So I think we've all gone for about a £500 budget. Is that what we've gone for? Just Ben's looking a little bit all over the place. Yeah, okay, fine. £500 budget per person. And what we're going to do is each of us is going to pitch our trip, hoping that this becomes maybe not series one, maybe series one of whatever the series is that we roll with on the Slice of Golf vlogs. Yeah, we'll call it that. We'll come up with a better name for that. Yeah, so who am I going to let pitch first? Let's go Timbo. Let's go Timbo. Let you pitch first. What will our trip be? Where would you like to go? 3 days. Give us the rundown.
Yeah, so I'll start off with a disclaimer that, yes, I absolutely got way, 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 way too carried away with this when I started doing it. So originally I said to the boys, oh, let's just go unlimited budget. But you know, when I say unlimited, you know, it's not silly. So I then basically, I started plotting, getting a train up to Scotland, getting a minivan, playing Carnoustie, playing Muirfield, playing the old course.
not going silly.
Not going silly or anything, throwing some distillery tours, and then when it came to getting the bill, it was kind of like, oh yeah, no, that's not feasible in any way, shape, or form. So I didn't know, right, but I had to draw a line under that one. So right, I'm gonna give my best sort of travel man pitch to you on this one. I'm gonna take you through an itinerary of how it's gonna work. So first day, it's an early start. About 5 a.m. unfortunately. So having picked up our motorhome the night before, Fiat Europa, if you're interested.
I'm going to have to stop Googling. One thing that I've said, can I just put this out there? One thing that I've said, I'm not a good camping person, a camper van, this isn't my cup of tea, but Ben and Tim seem to think it would be hilarious and great fun for us to do these tours in camper vans. So I'm willing, for the sake of these trips, to do that for sure.
Right. The Europa's got everything you need. It's got a stove, it's got a fridge, it's got a shower, it's got a toilet, it's got cameras when you reverse, it's got space for the club, it's got the beds in it.
I'm gonna Google this.
And this show has been brought to you by, what is it called? The Fiat Europa.
Anyway, so we're gonna jump. What? We're gonna jump.
Don't Google the Fiat Europa. It's like a 70s four-door family car.
It's not that. Is it a Fiat?
You're like, Tim has got the wrong vehicle.
Yeah, you're not looking at what I'm looking at. I'll put it that way. So we're gonna jump in the Europa. It's a 5.5-hour drive down towards the Lizard in Cornwall. If you're not familiar or very good with geography, this is pretty much the most southerly point of all of England. And what we're going to do is we're going to play Mullion Golf Course, which is the southernmost course in all of England. And I'm talking clifftop course, views of St. Michael's Mount. You've got the beaches. It's windswept. It's link-style golf. You can play it for a not unreasonable price. I believe it's about £40 or £50 in midweek. So good price. I'm going to factor in a tee off time of 12 because that allows to have a bit of a hit beforehand, putt, coffee, pre-round performance. Now, as soon as we're done, we're heading over to Perranporth, which is a lovely beach and seaside town. It's about a 40-minute drive away.
Okay.
And what we're doing, down to the beach, get the travel and golf out of our system, a couple of hours surfing. Take a couple of boards out, about £10, take a couple of boards out. And then you're going to finish the day at the Black Flag Brewery Tap Room, which overlooks the beach. Watch the sun go down, sampling some lovely, lovely craft beers. Back to the motorhome, probably for a bit of a barbecue. And first day done in the bag. Second day.
I haven't got to the brewery yet. What was the brewery called?
The Black Flag Brewery.
And this is me definitely putting you on the spot because you may not have these, but how much has day one cost us so far?
You can get day rate of the golf of 42. You can actually get green fee cheaper.
Yeah. Well, I can't really, I've worked it up in total just because I've not divided the motorhome by three. So I'll round it all up at the end for you.
Okay.
So second day, we're up at a slightly more respectable 7:30 a.m.
Okay.
And we're going to head up more towards the Padstow area.
Wait, so we've been up, we've left the house at 6 a.m. the day before. We've had a boozy night at the brewery. And we're now
Don't interrupt. I've got it all planned out.
Okay.
So we're up at 7:30. They're probably going to be some dusty heads. So what we're going to do, we're going to head up to Harlyn Bay. Beautiful, another little seaside beach place up towards Padstow Way. And we're talking breakfast, bit of coffee. It's only about a 40-minute drive, so not far. Okay. Breakfast and coffee. Get in the sea. Get in the sea to wash away the night before. You've got to get in the sea. It's a great hangover cure. Okay?
Yeah.
Then what we're going to do is we're going to take on Trevo's Golf Club. I factored into tea time for about 11 a.m. It's described as an exhilarating links style course. You've got beachside greens. You've got the cool brunt of the Atlantic coming into you, the waves crashing. You've got the cliffs. You're talking two-tiered greens, scenic par threes.
Sorry to interrupt, Timbo. Was that Trevo's or Privo's?
Trevo's. It's lovely.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful course. From there, it's a mere 10 minutes.
Tim, sorry, can I just pause you? If you are listening to this,
word,
and you're not driving, you're at home or wherever, make sure you Google these golf courses because Trevo's looks absolutely
spectacular.
And we're going to need you to vote at the end of this to see whose trip we actually do and document as we go around. So, okay, Trevo's, yeah, lovely. That is absolutely delightful.
Yeah, so as I say, I factored in about a 10:30, 11 a.m. tea time. So you should be done by all being well, 2:30-ish, which is good because a mere 10-minute drive away is the Padstow Brewery Company Brewery, where you can get a tour, you can get some food, they'll talk you through the process. And lest we forget, once you've done there, you're basically in Padstow. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant seaside town. Loads going on. I mean, you could pop and have a Rick Stein meal if you wanted to. He's got a seafood restaurant in the town. So that's day two wrapped up. Third and final day. So good news is you're already waking up in Padstow. So tons of places to go and get breakfast and coffee. The other thing it allows you to do, you can factor in a lovely 2-hour mackerel fishing trip. And how much it costs you? £20.
Oh.
That's all it costs you for a couple of hours out on the sea getting some mackerel. The mackerel is important, so I'll come back to that. After that, you finish on the big one. You finish 2:30 tee off at St. Enna Dock, which is probably Cornwall's premier golf club. It's widely revered as one of the finest links courses in England. You overlook the Camel Estuary. It's not actually in Padstow. It's actually in an even smaller village just across the other side of the estuary called Rock, which is very, how shall I describe this? Very, yeah, it's just very wealthy and very fancy. There you go. It's incredibly, incredibly upper crust, but it's just a beautiful spot of the world. Beautiful golf course. We're talking again, link style courses, rolling fairways, going down towards the sea and the cliffs.
Yeah,
that evening, once you're done, obviously you're coming towards the end of your 3-day trip. So you watch the sun go down over the Camel Estuary, you barbecue up the mackerel you caught earlier that day, maybe have one beer with it. And after that, you're on your late night drive back to London and you're done by 5 a.m. the next morning. 72 hours done. And Tim, total cost?
Go on.
£400.
Bloody hell.
Per person.
I think if you should ever find you're in a spot of trouble, Tim, take up golf holiday sales, because I think you've got me in for that one. I'm not sure I can beat it. I'm not going to lie.
He's a good salesman, isn't he?
Yeah.
He had a mic, I drop it.
Yeah. I should have let him go last. Okay. Ben, have you got any questions about that? The Cornwall golf trip?
I mean, it sounds excellent. It sounds a little bit more action-packed and full in the day, and I feel a little bit underprepared for mine, but it sounds brilliant.
I'm a little bit worried about the strict timings that we have, Tim. That's the only thing that would worry me.
The drives.
I like all of the activities. All of the activities sound great. All of it sounds fantastic. I'm 100% in. When are we going? Just, you're going to have to keep us on a strict time schedule to make sure we get everything.
I've factored in the driving times. It is all feasible with a little bit of cushion everywhere. But yeah, you would, in fairness, for this trip, you would need some pretty prescriptive tee times to make it work.
Okay. All right. I mean, do we even need to hear mine or Ben's? I'm not sure we do. I feel like we should, just because this is the podcast and we should probably keep going. Ben, tell us about your trip.
Okay, so right, I'm basing it on prices on us going in April, okay, because that was when kind of the cutoff point happened, and that was key for picking one of the courses. So I made the focus of the trip around the Gulf, and in particular because they are heading there this year for the Open, we are heading down to Kent. Now, first place to start was to look at Royal St. George's, which is in just down the road from Sandwich. So that was where I wanted to try and keep the focus of the Gulf. Like I said, Gulf was the key point, and I built stuff around it. I was like, well, we can't go all the way there if we're not playing Royal St. George's. So had a look from November 2020 all the way through until the Open is finished. If you hit a ball on the fairway, you have to pick it up and play it off a mat, because they are looking to keep the fairways in that pristine condition. Wow. Wow. Also, that's pretty interesting. And it's also going to cost you £250 per person per round.
That's a lot of the budget.
Yeah, that's a lot of my budget. But I was like, we can't go there and not play Royal St. George's. So anyway, we'll come back to that.
So we're playing St. George's and then like two
and just nothing else. So playing there on a Saturday. But we come back to the Friday. I just wanted to get to the nice nugget there, first of all. For me, I mean, you two will be driving. So because it's somewhat around the M25, I'll meet you there.
Have you just nominated us to drive? Is that what just happened?
Basically, to fit in the budget, I blew the budget on the Gulf, not even going to lie. So I was like, huh, shit, I've not got a lot left to play with here. So a train for me from London.
We've got every man for himself here. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. But well, this is where we start teaming up, because I take a train to Swanley, so that's not much of my budget gone. So I can get an Open return from London to Swanley, which is just around the M25. Just hold up for £18. So that keeps our budget nice and tight. So you're going to pick me up, because basically petrol is free. So we're assuming that petrol is not coming into this. So now you can ask your question.
Basically, so it's now every man for himself.
I'm making it to you. I'm making your job easier. So instead of you driving to London.
Wait. Do either Tim or I come past you on the M25?
Around about Swanley, yeah.
I don't think we do. But okay, that's fine. We're willing to come pick you up. We're willing to come pick you up, sure.
Thanks. So that's £18 of, we'll say, my budget gone. And as we said, the focal point is the Gulf. So unfortunately, it didn't leave a lot for the accommodation. So the accommodation is 35 minutes outside of Sandwich. We're going to be staying in an Airbnb, which is okay. It's a single room.
Yeah.
whoa.
By a single room, I mean it's one room. It's a double bed and a single, so we're proper slumming it, because this place is £24 a night. So £48 in total. I mean, we're going completely opposite end of the scale here. So from there, it's a 30-minute drive outside of Sandwich. This is where the fun begins. So we've made it there. On the Friday, we're going to head to, this is based on a conversation we had fairly recently, and it fits inside the budget really nicely. We're going to be heading to Stoneleigh's 5-hole par 3 golf course. We've spoken about not playing enough par threes. Not sure why it's 5 holes. Maybe they didn't have enough space to add on another 4. But it's basically you pay once and you play as many holes as you want. They've got a driving range there, another couple of other courses. Stoneleigh's.
L-E-S.
And an all-day family ticket. I'm calling it a family ticket because, Chris, you hit it like a child. £20. So we're going to play golf all day for £20, all right? And then that doesn't include beers and fun stuff. Just looks like a little fun opener for us. Because we said recently we're not playing enough pitch and putt, par 3 sort of stuff. I thought that would be good fun. Get our eye in, have a little driving range, then do what we want for dinner.
Yeah, for a little par 3 course, it looks nice. Very pleasant.
Yeah.
I think from what I saw, they've got two other courses on there. So it makes sense. They were just like, we've got a little bit more land. Let's just put something fun on there. So we're playing the fun course. So we go back to our £24 a night Airbnb. Lovely. We get up nice and early. We're heading to Royal St. George's. All right, as I said, that's £250 a round. So that's a lot of the budget there. But like I said, we wanted to focus on the golf. Now, I don't know if either of you two have ever been to a 2020 cricket match. Now, I know it's not completely golf related, but the social at a T20 yeah. cricket match on a Friday or a Saturday is excellent if the crowd is packed in there. So for £25 a ticket, we're off to see the Kent Spitfires play in a T20 match. Okay. And then fun tokens on top of that. We've got a little kitty each at the end. And yeah, that's a good 3-4 hours of entertainment. And because there's not tons else to do other than get involved in the atmosphere, eat and drink, you end up consuming quite a bit and having a merry old time. Then we head back, have a sleep, and we wake up and play 18 holes at Kent's third ranked golf course, very well known golf course, Prince's.
Prince's, okay.
That is £90 a round. So that is where most of my budget went. £340 on Royal St. George's and Prince's, and then we'll factor in everything else.
I'm gonna actually back you up here, Ben. I reckon you could get a deal on from like a Your Golf Traveler or whoever. I reckon you could get a deal on Prince's and Royal St. George's.
And then hopefully get some kind of accommodation thrown in there as well, which is better than just a cupboard for us three to sleep in. That'd be
me sharing a room with you. I mean, we're sharing a camper van. I mean, what's the difference between that and having a one room Airbnb?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't look the biggest room. I'm not going to lie.
don't come with a motorhome.
Oh, no. I was coming about by the room, you know, for us to print. It doesn't look that big. And then that leaves us with a kitty of £49. I bent the rules a little bit because I'll be food prepping. Not going to lie, I was going to bring food with me just so I could factor in the £49 just for fun tokens for when we're at the cricket. Okay. That is my weekend in Kent.
Lovely. And perfect timing. Tim is obviously frozen again. he's just doing lots of maths, really, and he's concentrating really hard on the maths. But I'm pretty sure he's frozen. Yeah, I like that. I actually don't mind the idea of a nice little pitch and putt, par three or whatever, to get started on day one. I think that's quite a good, nice little touch. And I would love to play Royal St. George's and Prince's for sure. In fact, I really want to play Prince's this year. I think we can make that happen. Maybe September.
Yeah. Yeah,
that would be cool. Yeah, I think that would be great. I'm actually going to wait for Timbo to come back before I start pitching my trip. I think the only question, I don't think I've got any questions about yours. I'd like to sort out the travel arrangements so they're a bit smoother.
Yeah, well, I have to admit, I did the research, but it's one of those. You know, when you start going down the rabbit hole of great golf courses, you start checking out all the photos and the prices. And this is nice. And then it left me a bit short on time to try and factor in all the other logistics, so they were kind of thrown in.
Sure, I like how you went golf focus for sure, along with a bit of cricket in there. But yeah, for sure, I like the I like that focus, and I think that is a trip that will have to happen at some point. Timbo's back. Welcome back, Timbo. It's nice to have you here. did you have any questions for Ben about his trip before we move on to my trip?
What I missed it. What was your final cost?
Final cost because of the £49. Food and drink kitty that you've got. I got it all the way up to 500. Ooh, so £451.
£49 food and drink kitty.
Yeah, but that was where you've
between three.
Yeah, no, you get 49 each. But this is where I said
3 days.
Just wait. you froze at the time. Because you know the amount that I eat. And the amount of food I have on the golf course, to bend the rules a little, I factored that into my previous week's food prep budget. So I'm prepping all of our meals for us. How about that?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Sure. Fine.
Okay. Well, I think with that, I'll have hot dogs for dinner. So,
right. What was your final cost?
Well, including the £49.
Yeah.
That's 500. Took it up to 500. That £49. They're £49 of stay alive tokens. Do what you want with them. Feed yourself if you want.
My personal feeling is that 70% budget on golf is maybe a bit too much.
Yeah.
I know we're a golf podcast. I know we all want to play these courses, but also like life.
I did think that, but then I was like, well, £250 for Royal St. George's. I was like, oh, God, that's a lot. But then I thought, well, if we don't play there, then let's go somewhere else. Don't bother going to Kent.
Yeah, fair. I love the inclusion of the T20 night. Okay. I've got to give you that. I love that.
Never been to a T20 night, so that'll be a first.
They're belting, mate.
Okay.
Good socials.
Okay, let's go to my trip. You guys got an echo? Wanako, just me? Okay, fine. Let's go to my trip. Okay, I've now got to up my salesman game here after hearing Timbo's pitch. Excellent pitch. Okay, day one. Not a camper van. I've got a car suitable that we could all get in and our clubs get in and get ourselves. It's an early start, but not quite as early as Timbo's. I reckon we'd leave around 7, 8 a.m. 5-hour drive, which is a bit punchy, to get to North Wales. We are heading for our mini tour, and we are going to start off day one with a round twilight at Royal St David's. A twilight round there is £60, so we'll be teeing off around 3 p.m., getting a lovely afternoon round of golf in there. And if you Google that, you'll be delighted with the looks of that course. Once we finish there, we will be heading straight. We'll probably go drop our bags off at. I've also gone for an Airbnb within the town. There's a town. I now can't see the name of it. It's on here somewhere. Crap, can't see it. Anyway, Airbnbs. I went a bit nicer. I even went for one where we each had our own room, and that was going to cost us £40 each per night. So £120 a night in the Airbnb that we'd be staying in. And then we'd be making our way to brewery number one, Purple Moose Brewery, which sounded excellent. They have a wide selection of lovely looking beers there. So I was very excited for that. Didn't get as far as a restaurant or anything for dinner. I just got stuck at the brewery and thought we'd probably spend a few hours there. Go back to the Airbnb. Day two, we're going on a 30-minute-ish drive to Nefyn, which is the place that Peter Finch talked about a few weeks ago on the episode. By the way, if you haven't listened to the Peter Finch episode, go listen to that, which I believe that was the place where he found the world's greatest pub. So we were going to visit that pub. A little tip of the hat to Peter Finch for that one. And also, there's a brewery that we'd be going into. I'm kind of upset that I put this in here because I don't know how to pronounce this. Kurulin is what I'm going for. CWRW. That's I'm going with Kuru. Is the way I'm going to pronounce that. Lin, WLW, not W, LLYN. Another brewery. Looked delightful. So we'll be going there on day two. Again, we've got the beach down there. Lovely pint overlooking. Sun going down. We're going in the summer, obviously. Sun's going down. Oh, just what a lovely evening. Back to the Airbnb. Day three, back out towards Nefyn. It's on the different coast, but down towards Nefyn still. Abersoch, A-B-E-R-S-O-C-H, golf club. Oh, sorry, Nefyn was £53 for a morning green fee. Abersoch is £47.50. Another beautiful-looking golf course. All of these very coastal, very linksy, which I appreciate isn't much variation in the style of golf, and I was very aware of that. I did look for maybe more of an inland course to play on the way back, but to be honest with you, I was like, we're in North Wales, we may as well play three of the lovely
we play courses. We play enough inland courses here.
I was on £47.50 on the final day. Play that in the morning. Sure, it's a 5-hour drive back, which is a bit of a slog, but drive back on day three back for the evening. So we've got golf is, what's the golf, 60, 110, 160, 150, something like that, 150 for the golf, 120, so £40 a night for the Airbnb. So we're looking at like 270 for the golf and stay. So then we've just got food and beer spend. I reckon like genuinely you've got like, what, £200, whatever you want to spend on food and beer. I feel like we've got Rome, you know, scope to Rome on that as well.
No food.
Imagine I've done research on fishing trips. Damn it. I've let myself down there. I'm disappointed in that. But that's my trip. I'm pitching North Wales, somewhere that I've never been for a start. Somewhere I'd love to go. And there seems to be some lovely golf courses. Question.
I can confirm, by the way, that Abersoch is an absolutely beautiful part of the world. It's a lovely beachside town, loads of bars, some good eateries. A good buddy of mine has got a holiday home over there, and
that, Would he rent that for less than £120 a night? Because that could save our budget.
It could probably save our budget. I'm not sure if I can offer it up widely and freely to the listener base, but between sure. the three of us...
I'm being 100% entirely selfish, Tim, though. I'm talking about the three of us.
But yeah, the other thing to say is, yeah, absolutely nothing. We simply have to go. The only thing I was going to say, actually, the only comment I was actually going to make was that... I was just going to be a bit sad that we didn't just literally just spend the rest of that day just in that pub in Nefyn. I was quite like the idea of playing around there and then just literally just planting ourselves in the world's greatest 19th hole for the rest of the day and the evening. That sounds good to me.
And I did think about that. And then I looked at the brewery and I thought, this looks excellent. I'd be disappointed not to try that. If the pub served the beer from that brewery, I'd be like, that's fine.
Maybe we just switch it around. You do brewery first. You could do a brewery tour. You don't need to stay
brewery then play the golf?
No, play the golf, brewery, and then just come back. I know it's rerouting a little bit.
No, I know what Tim's on about.
Get the evening entertainment in that pub.
Yeah, I get Tim's plan, and I'd be willing to do that because you just want to walk off the golf course, chill. We'd obviously taxi home on that evening. We'd leave the car there, come back and get it. It's quite relatively close to Avisoc, I think, maybe. I thought about doing more of a Wales tour and coming down to, and I don't know how you pronounce it, I'm going to call it Machinus.
Yeah, I think you need to brush up on your Welsh, mate, because trying to get taxis in Wales, we're going to end up all over the place.
I apologise to any of the Welsh listeners. Machynys. Just have a look at this course. But it's south, so it would have been like a 4-hour drive on day three morning, and I was like, nah, not having that. Can't be very
punchy.
However, I would absolutely, having looked at some of the courses in the south and the west of Wales, there is a whole other trip to do in the south and west of Wales, because there are some glorious looking courses over there as well. Wales, really good for golf.
Oh yeah. We've got some trips to start getting in the diary.
So those are our three trips. I think we should pick one. And I also want to hear from listeners. I've come to mind of a social media post that we can put out with the three trips, the three courses, and that help people pick our trips. What's your vote for? And you can vote for yourself if you want.
You can vote for yourself.
Yeah, I'd say you can vote. I'd say so. Otherwise, No, okay. You can't vote for yourself. Can't vote for yourself. Whose trip are you going to pick, Timbo? So you've got Kent with Royal St. George's. You're picking Ben up on your way. You're not eating any food because you've got £40 to spend for 3 days, and that's all going to go on beer. But you are playing Royal St. George's and Prince's. Or you've got a lovely trip up to North Wales, glorious sunshine, loads of budget for beer and food, and some lovely golf courses.
You've got a really lovely combination of the really picturesque golf clubs and the brewery and the world's greatest 19th. But then you've got Royal St. George's and Prince's, which is just two of the clubs I'm just absolutely desperate to play. Plus, I keep coming back to the idea of going for the night at the T20, which is just It's potentially a deal breaker.
This is ridiculous.
But on reflection, I'm not sure I can get over the £49 food budget shenanigans of getting there that you're proposing. Please don't ever take a second career as a travel agent organizer, because I'm not sure it's quite there. So two awesome trips, but I'm probably just gonna side with North Wales on this one.
Okay. North Wales gets one vote. Ben Fowlis,
I have to admit, before you said you can't pick your own one, in my own mind I'd already ruled out my own based on all the I don't fancy getting the train. I don't really want to spend no money on food and drink over the few days. Like I said, went down the rabbit hole of just focusing on golf and got way too excited. I think both of your the weekends sound brilliant. I think because I've heard of the courses that Chris spoke about and the pub, and I've seen the photos of the pub. I think I would go to Wales. I like the idea of the camper van.
I'm happy to make that sacrifice.
I think it's good. Scrap the brewery and just park ourselves in the pub, and I think that takes it.
And maybe add a mackerel fishing trip.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I mean, okay. I'm not sure how choppy the waters would be off the top of North of Wales. Maybe
the one disclaimer. I have personally done that mackerel fishing trip before.
Okay,
that actual one I'm talking about, I have been and done it, and I did do it after a particularly heavy night, and it was two of the worst hours of my life. After about the first hour, I just put a hoodie on, put a cap on, and lay on the bottom of the boat trying to sleep.
Unbelievable. This has taken a mad turn. I did not see Wales getting the votes there. For me, Tim, I was ruling my trip out. As soon as you talked me through your trip, I was like, this sounds excellent. I love Cornwall as well. Go down there a lot. I really enjoy it. Never play golf down there. So that for me is something that needs to be ticked off, and those courses look wonderful. So sorry, Ben, yours did not get a look in over Tim's. I do really want to play Royal St. George's and Prince's, but I'd like to do them in a better environment than what you've described.
Don't blame you. You don't want to stay in a loft and eat hot dogs a weekend, basically.
Yeah, again, for me, there's no real difference if you're staying in a camper. My camper van knowledge is really weak, but I assume a camper van is just a one room box anyway.
The one thing you've got to bear in mind when you've got the camper van, and actually, sorry, it's not a camper van, it's a motorhome, so get it right.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you add motorhome onto the end of Fiat, wherever it was, it looks quite plush, actually.
Yeah. Okay. But the big thing with having the motorhome is that you're not fixed in one location.
Sure.
So you can travel a little bit more between the points, because obviously you're mentioning Abersoch and Nefyn,
yeah,
and the variety of golf courses. I would recommend getting the motorhome just so you can actually get a bit of variety, because the ones I talked about in Cornwall, there's probably about 45 minute drive between the first course and the second course, and you're going from the south of England, going sort of looking over the channel to the other coast overlooking the Atlantic, so it's a bit of a different vibe.
Okay. I'm picturing, did you ever watch the film Meet the Fuckers?
Yeah, it's not that.
I'm picturing one of those giant
RV. You're thinking an RV. A motorhome is not an RV.
So I've just found it back again. Type in Fiat Europa camper van and it will show you a
camper van.
It's a motorhome, it's not a camper van.
That would work.
Okay, who's in the top bit where there's like three? That's really claustrophobic up there.
Yeah,
well, if you're gonna be the princess, then I'll cozy up to Fowlis on the top. That's fine.
I mean, you could, if you sneezed, you freaking hit your head on the ceiling.
I don't know what you're looking at. Oh, right, yeah, I do. No, well, don't worry about that. That's the logistics. We'll come to it once we get there.
Okay, but it can sleep, or we can all get a bed in there.
I mean, technically it sleeps four, so it might. I think it's actually some one person could get the upstairs bit, and there are two little bunks in the bottom bit.
Easy. Okay.
Lived in a camper van for a month with Ben Price, a listener of the show, in New Zealand. It, although very, very funny. We were 21 at the time. but sure, I'm for comedy value, I'm willing to go in a camper van for sure.
So we're going to North Wales.
Okay.
But we'll probably go in the motorhome, not the Airbnb. And remind us what courses we're playing.
We are playing Royal St. David's, Twilight Round, day one, Nefyn, day two, Abersoch, day three.
Nice.
And I'll find some nice pictures. And can we? I'm only going to agree to this if we promise that we can do Cornwall soon after, because I really want to do that trip.
we're really chapter one of the Club Sandwich Tour, the Club Sandwich Diaries.
The Club Sandwich Diaries. What if these places don't do club sandwiches? What happens?
No, we don't fucking go.
Ringing up beforehand. Large Book of Tea Club. Great, that'll be £60. Great. Do you do a decent club sandwich?
Yeah.
Ah, cancel that green food. We'll go to Neffin instead. Sorry. See ya. okay, awesome. So North Wales is trip one, Cornwall probably being trip two, and possibly
Kent, maybe. It just needs just need some tweaking.
Maybe Kyle. people listening, what do you think? Which trip would you most like to do? Which trip would you like to see us? Would you like to see us document these trips? We're thinking a bit more of a four ball, big competition, 2v2s, match plays, singles, whatever. Having a bit of fun with it. Documenting some of the brewery trips as well, which could be just quite amusing in itself. Anyway, let us know. I'll put the post out there. Let us know which trip you like the sound of. We're thinking, obviously, UK for now. And if we've missed anywhere that you think you really should, obviously Scotland, none of us mentioned. But if there's anywhere else, an area of the UK that we should go that's got two or three wonderful courses, some hidden gems, let us know. We'd love to see more of those as well. Awesome. Okay, let's move on. I looked at the time already. We've been nattering on about our golf trip there. Ben, you have got for us a would you rather section. So I'm going to hand this straight over to you.
Yeah, I have indeed. So I had actually designed this prior to last week's show, but last week we ended up nattering for quite a while. So we ended up kind of pushing it, and we'll bring it into this week. Now, some of these questions were focused around kind of Sawgrass at the time and getting wrapped up in the whole Sawgrass vibe, and kind of also the production and how Sky Sports and the TV teams put it together. So quite a few of the questions are around that. And some questions popped up in my head that I was like, that's quite interesting, because one of the commentators for me is just brilliant to listen to. And I immediately thought, I would love to know what you two think. So we'll try and keep this fairly quick, but he's very quickly becoming my favorite commentator, I think, in world sport. Would you go Ewan Murray or Peter Allis? Timbo, I'll come to you first.
I mean, with all due respect, it's not even a question.
Really?
No, not even close. Peter Allis is the voice of golf. It's Ewan Murray is excellent. Don't get me wrong. He is brilliant at what he does. And he's the leader of the commentators you've got now. But sorry, Peter Allis,
yeah,
untouchable.
I'm the same. Ben, why are you obviously...
So obviously I've taken on a bigger interest in golf, you know, up until now, kind of every year I've got older, really. Sky took over a lot of the coverage. So I've heard way more big moments coming from Ewan Murray than I have Peter Allis. You know, there are the iconic moments from Peter Allis from 20 years ago when BBC had all the coverage. Mm-hmm. And I just think the way Ewan Murray explains the game, and you know, you think back to some of the iconic moments in the past 10, 15 years, Ewan Murray's been at the forefront of all of them. So that was where, for me, it was like, where do I sit? Because I am so close for this one.
I totally get it. It's kind of, you know, it's the voice that you had in your head at really big key moments that you remember. Yeah. I totally understand, you know, because, you know, football commentators, you know, this is probably going to be sacrilege that I say, like John Motson for me, not a big deal, because I don't like I remember other commentators doing the really big moments. Yeah. But I think Peter Allis, in terms of, I think I said it actually when we talked about it after he very sadly passed away, I remember his commentary from when I was a kid and before I even liked golf or knew anything about golf. But even more than that, you just had how articulate he was and the kind of the comedy that he brought to it, as well as the seriousness. For me, it's clear.
Yeah, pretty clear for you, Righty.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be closer. Fair enough. I got a feeling this may be where number two goes for this one. Again, this is a BBC versus Sky thing. Ken on the course or Radar Riley?
Shall I go?
Yeah, we'll go Righty.
I'm actually Radar Riley.
Okay, interesting.
I get Ken. Okay, so this is now where I flip. Ken, very BBC old school, and just not totally my cup of tea, like in terms of how he communicates. Obviously very good at what he does, but Riley's just, he's great fun. Like, absolutely excellent. I just think always, not that, yeah, I was going to say knowledgeable, but that's kind of not that either of them are less knowledgeable than the other. I just think it comes across very, very well. I resonate with it. I hear the voice. I like the voice. Like, it's just, yeah, that for me.
Timothy?
Radar for me. Yeah. I'd actually say because generally speaking, with the big days when you've got a Ewan Murray or back in the day of Peter Alex, you'd have the kind of the wiser old voice and very serious and very, I don't know, like it'd be like you're walking, like you're kind of walking around the golf course with like a friendly grandfather sort of figure. whereas Radar's a little bit more. He's a bit more lighthearted. Yeah. He likes a laugh. He gets the right level of sort of technical information in with the kind of humor element to it. And also, from a really personal point of view, I actually just really like the series of videos that Radar has on YouTube. There are so many good videos of him like coaching and just sort of commenting on stuff on YouTube. It's brilliant. So yeah, I'm actually going with Radar on that one.
Nice. Yeah, I quite like Radar, I have to admit. Right, next one, it's kind of verging on the pros. You get to caddy for a year. This is kind of going on from our caddy talk last week.
Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau. So you may win a lot, but you've got to deal with how irritating he is. Or Matt Kuchar. You potentially never get paid. Who are you going with? Tim. I'll come to you.
I mean, let's be honest. Neither of them are going to listen to anything I've got to say. It would be fascinating to be on Bryson's bag for a year from just a weird morbid fascination with him as a golfer, and obviously all the kind of the technical bits he's adding to it, the way he thinks, the science he applies to it, how he trains. Yeah, and then just him as a human being, I think it would be a bit of a case study in slightly off.
It'd be an interesting year.
It'd be a very interesting year. Cooch, I can't get over the not paying the caddy thing. And quite clearly, I don't know any of these people. Cooch, I'm sure, is a really, really, really nice guy. But you're not going to be... you're not going to be competing for titles.
Yeah.
You're going to be plodding along. You're not going to be doing a lot of final days.
Yeah.
Unless we forget, caddies make big money only if your players are making the cuts consistently.
Yeah.
Bryson. I caddy for Bryson.
Mr. Wright?
Yeah, Bryson. First, immediately came to mind, Bryson. I think it would be a very interesting insight to human psychology and performance.
I have to admit, when I was asking that question, there was only ever going to be one winner, and I knew which way I was going to go. But when I thought out the question, I had a good chuckle to myself. It's quite funny. Right, next one. Mashed potatoes or no fans ever again?
At any event.
Mashed potatoes.
No any fans, event ever. Any event.
I really hate mashed potatoes. No, I'd be willing to put up with the odd mashed potato for have fans.
Okay, I want to test your limit there. Every half an hour you hear mashed potatoes.
Can we get a free punch of that person in the face? Anyone can do it.
No.
Whoever does it, free punch to the face.
No, sorry, mate. I just was just interested to see your tolerance to mashed potatoes.
If it wasn't for the Ryder Cup,
yeah,
I'd play with no fans to get rid of the mashed potato brigade. Yeah. I can't stand them.
Yeah, mashed potatoes are the worst. Oh no, I think
blows my head in.
I really like having fans, and I would put up with the mashed potatoes.
Couple of mashed potatoes a week.
Yeah.
Sadly, yeah.
Yeah, but get that. I mean, ideally, there'd be no mashed potatoes. And if you are that knobhead who shouts mashed potatoes, please stop. Please stop.
I had a feeling that would get you going. Right. Next one. Tiger makes a comeback, wins another major, or Europe win the Ryder Cup this year. Now, if you couldn't deduce from that, USA also win the Ryder Cup this year if Tiger comes back and wins another major. Tim.
How many is he off?
He's still four. I think he's four off, Jack, okay. Isn't he?
Yeah. It's a few off.
He wins one more.
Wins another. This doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't go on to win even more, but obviously for him to, he's got to prove that he's still got game. So he's got to come back and at least get one on the board before he can start chasing the others.
And we're just talking a one-off win for Europe this time.
Yep.
Just a one single win.
Yep.
Oh, man, this is a really good one.
No, it's we're gonna argue around the questions.
Well, okay, I'll tell you where I am. So my thinking is he's already had one comeback. It's been a great story.
Sure.
Does he need to win again to be anything bigger than he already is? I don't think so. And
okay, so question which may help this and kind of may sway you. How did you feel when he won the 2019 Masters, when he sunk that final putt? I was almost in tears.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. However,
Ryder Cup's great. Ryder Cup can be won in years to come.
Yeah, sure.
Tiger may only have a year or two left.
Yeah, for me, nothing on Tiger here. I'm at the point of he's had the comeback or a comeback. It was incredible. Yeah, it was incredibly emotional. Another one would be amazing. Of course it would. I just fucking love the Ryder Cup and would love to see Europe win it. Imagine like Victor Hovland just draining the winning putt, or John Rahm draining the. I'd be like, I don't care what year, how much it is for me. That Ryder Cup win, the emotion over that, what is it, three little bit days, is more, for me, more than seeing Tiger win again.
I am more ready for new golf stories and new things to happen rather than another Tiger comeback is where I'm going with this. Also, I think this year of all years, if you consider how strong this American team is going to be this year, it would be a hell of an achievement because, having said that, European guys are in such good form. It's going to be close. But yeah, I think it comes back to, I'm ready for other players to have more stories now rather than Tiger. I'm ready to see. To be honest, there's a big part of me, I would rather see right now Jordan Spieth come back and get to the top of the game again rather than Tiger come back and win another major right now. Because I feel, and it sounds trite, but that Tiger's already done that story. We've had that story. I want other things to happen.
Can you imagine the next documentary, the comeback again? Like, what's like number two?
Interesting.
So you obviously got Tiger then.
I do come and go with that, but I absolutely loved the 2019 Masters and I was glued to it. I couldn't take my eyes off it and I was kind of jumping out of my chair when he was making putts and he started making the surge. So yeah, I think to come back and see that again, experience that again, because like I said, Tiger's had, you know, as every player on a PGA Tour says, has had a bigger impact on their lives as golfers and for me as a fan than any other player. And I think this time, because my dad has asked me on occasion since his crash, is he done? Is that it for Tiger? And I'm like, I don't want it to be. And I think, I'd edge for Tiger on that one. Mm. Right, tough one. This is playing on the heartstrings for Timothy. Morikawa or Schauffele?
To what? Just in general to win?
Yeah, just, you know, who's your boy? If we said your top two are quite commonly known as Schauffele and Morikawa.
You're asking to pick a favourite.
You have to drop one. Who's your favourite child?
Morikawa.
Yeah, same.
Cool.
Because I I'm about to say probably a ridiculous thing. I already now predict Morikawa will go and have a bigger career than Xander. Yeah. I think he is a better player. Yeah. I think he's already doing it right. He's at his age, he's already burning it. And and again, you come back to that tee shot for his maiden major title. He's obviously got the mental strength and one of the most beautiful swings in golf. So yeah, actually Morikawa feels like Xander was like my first favorite, and it feels like the second child has kind of overtaken the first as the favorite. So I feel a bit guilty.
Agreeing with that, Chris, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Morikawa all day.
Cool. Right. You get to perch yourself on one par three on Championship Sunday. Where is it? This isn't a would you rather. This is a you name
any,
it.
Any par three.
Any par three. I wanted to pick two, but I know there are a few favorites out there, like Phoenix. You could go 12 at Augusta, 16 at Augusta. You could go 17th at Sawgrass, 7th at Pebble.
What are the circumstances in which you're playing this hole? It's very
so important. We're watching Championship Sunday, and you've got Morikawa and Schauffele are tied for the lead.
Okay. For a second, I thought you were asking which one would I like to play.
You get to spectate. So this is
spectate at any par three.
On Championship Day.
Championship Day.
With your favourite player in the hunt. Christopher.
Yeah, I am leaning towards Augusta just because, A, I'd love to go watch the Masters. I'd love to see. Can you imagine having your favourite player winning at the Masters? So I'm leaning that way. I'm just trying to think if there's anywhere else that when you said Phoenix, like, yes, I would 100% love to go there and do the 16th and see that. But I don't think that's, I think that'd be a great party, but I don't think that's bigger than the night Augusta. So I am leaning that way. Yeah. 16, right?
Yeah. 16 or 12.
Yeah, no, 16.
Hang on. 12's the
Amen corner where everyone was sticking it in the drink.
In the water.
You could go back down into the water, or you've got the bunker beyond it where Tiger Shot is, like 12 this year, right?
Yeah.
That's 12.
Yeah.
12. 12 at Augusta for me to watch. I think I said last week, if I was playing a par three, I would play the par three at Pebble. Watch the championship round, I would go and watch Amen Corner.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So I had written down 16th, just because you're closer to the action. Obviously, 12th, you're sat behind the tee box, whereas 16th, you're up on the green. And
that's a good point. Really good point.
Carnage goes in there on a Sunday. They put a pin position on there, getting players getting close to the hole. My final question. You've reached the 18th at the famous Frei Bentos Invitational. A birdie wins you the singles title. It's a short par four.
Yeah.
280 to the pin.
That's a long par four for me, mate.
Remember, birdie wins it. Par takes you into a playoff. Do you take the disco stick out and go for it? You give it the full send? Or do you lay up and back your wedge game to put it close? 280 to pin, so we're not saying about carry at the moment. So, Chris, you have a chance to get there. Could be downhill, downwind.
Sure.
You go for it with driver. You playing safe?
Is the person I'm playing against in my group?
Yes.
Wow. Well, that sounds silly. Is the person that who's about to is in second or whatever? I would put the ball in play, hopefully. Off, and I love my wedge game. Wedge game, I back myself.
Interesting. So you'd lay up. Yeah.
In that situation, yeah. Because I back myself with the wedge. And I think if I put the ball in play.
A wedge and one putt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Timothy.
I'm taking a 3-wood.
And sticking it in the greenside bunker.
How far do you think my 3-wood goes if it's turning the green to a bunker on a 280-yard hole? I mean, I'll take the compliment, but I'm not hitting a 3 with 280 yards.
But then what does that leave you with, like a short little sticky itch, like that wedge in?
It would leave me somewhere between 55, 65 yards in.
Yeah, that's a really tricky distance for me. I'd struggle with that.
So I like that distance.
Okay.
That'd be like a 3/4 sandwich. Quite like that shot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No, 280.
3 yards, keep it in play.
280, so you go 220, 60 yards, 200, 210. Yeah, to be fair, you're going 200, 210. If I went 200, 210, 80-yard shot in. Yeah, now that's me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Ben's on the things, of course.
I think, going back to the original question, I think when the stakes are like that and you're talking about 284 yard, if you don't need to hit a driver to be in with a chance of getting a birdie, I don't think you hit a driver in those circumstances. I'm going to throw the granny at this.
Yeah. When we actually walk onto that 18T, it's a very different matter. Yeah.
Well, actually, on that subject, so the second tournament that we went abroad and did in Portugal. So Chris and I had a situation which wasn't actually unlike that situation. And I think we both went driver.
Where are we going? Oh,
it's Portugal.
Yeah.
And we both went driver, and it's fair to say we both completely screwed up our tee shots. Both went wrong that time.
Yeah. Is that the time you whipped in the bunker?
Yep.
By the way, for anyone listening, the Frame Mentors Invitational is our group of 12 to 16 mates that all go away once a year. And the trip for generally 4 rounds of golf over 4 days, it's intense, it's brilliant, it's so much fun. 2 teams, Ryder Cup style. Yeah, it's standing all square on the 18th. And knowing that you've just got to level or beat the person that you're standing against. That's pressure. I freaking love it. I love it.
Yep. Right. Thank you very much for playing my game of Would You Rather, gentlemen. I've enjoyed those answers.
Very good. Yeah, thank you very much. I've got, before we leave, one thing for you guys to go and look at after the pod, after we hang up. If you haven't seen it already and you're listening to this, do this as well. Google this. Go and have a look at Arizona State University's training ground, driving range, whatever you want to call it. It is unbelievable. This is a university, a college. When we're talking about like the Victor Hovlands, the Colin Morikawas, the Matthew Wolves coming out of college being like outstanding golfers, like this will just give you an insight into why they are coming out with the skills that they have, with the practice facilities and the access that they have. It is just unbelievable. ASU, Arizona State University practice facilities. I'm sure there are some other glorious ones as well. But this is obviously, I think ASU is Phoenix, so very close to the waste management event that happens there. So you get an idea of where it is in the world. Yeah, just go and have a look at that. That'll be how we sign off today. That's all from me. Anything else from you, gents?
It's all from me.
No, all good.
In that case, we'll catch you guys next week where we will be discussing the WGC match play. Catch you next week.
See you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed the show, then it would be awesome if you could leave us a rating and review. If your podcast player doesn't, however, allow you to do that, then it would be awesome if you could take a screenshot of the podcast and share it on your socials. As always, this show has been brought to you by Sunday Red Golf and Tour Champ. Sunday Red Golf is the golf club for the hacker, the real golfer, the person who just loves their golf, enjoys being out on the course with their mates, wants to improve their game, but just doesn't take themselves too seriously. If that sounds like you and you want more golf chat, you want competitions, you want events, trips, fantasy league, and loads more, then join us for free at sundayredgolf.co.uk. And Tour Champ, with the return of golf, with golf coming back, now is the perfect time to start your own Race to Dubai or FedEx Cup style competition with your mates. Find out who will be the Tour Champ this year. Just head on over to tourchamp.co where you can create your own league for free.